And I'll be reading verses 1 to 9 and then verses 18 to 23, the parable of the sower. Matthew chapter 13 and the first 9 verses. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered round him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly, because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And verses 18 to 23. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on the good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. This is God's word, and he is sure to add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that you have given us our Bibles that we can learn and we can read from each day. We thank you that you seek to use us in the building up of your kingdom. We thank you that you love each one of us and that you plant thoughts and your word in our hearts. And so we pray that we would be receptive to you speaking to us through your Holy Spirit and through your word. And so open your word to us now and bless it to our hearts. For we ask it in the name of your beloved Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. The parable of the sower is the first parable that Matthew records Jesus as having spoken. In this parable, Jesus takes a scene from everyday life and he uses it to speak about the kingdom of God. Some have suggested that as Jesus spoke these very words to the crowd, there in the distance a farmer may have been out in a field visible, sowing seeds. So in effect, Jesus may have been saying, see that farmer there in the field, and so forth, using this visual aid as a text for his talk. Along the shore, around the Sea of Galilee, in various places, there are narrow inlets where the banks slope upwards from the lake shore, small bays, if you will. And it was probably in such a place that Jesus addressed people from within a boat. Tom Wright relates an excursion to the Sea of Galilee during a visit to the Holy Land. He writes, "Our guide knew what he was doing. He had already asked a local fisherman to bring a small boat. Leaving us on the shore, he got into the boat and they pushed off and rowed out to the middle of the inlet. Then he stood up in the boat and in a clear voice, without needing to shout, he read to us this, the parable of the sower. We were amazed. His voice came to us across the water, clear and crisp on the morning air. The steep banks of the inlet acted like a well-designed theatre with perfect acoustics. We stood there imagining a crowd many times larger than ourselves, listening to another voice from another boat 2,000 years ago. Jesus had discovered a perfect way to address several hundred at once and to have them all hear what he was saying." Jesus was a master of communications in various ways. He knew the best places to get his message across, and he used different methods of speech to communicate to people on different levels. The parables were stories which conveyed meaning beyond themselves. They encouraged people to think about situations, often everyday ones, and to draw spiritual truths from them. The process of sowing seeds would have been familiar to those Jesus addressed who lived in a largely agricultural society. And the parable rings true for us today also. We know the problems, don't we, of rocky ground. I remember moving into the First Man's in Somerset. It'd been a new build, and all the land had rock and rubble within the garden. We were bordering on fields and the bindweed crept through, and there's all the problems associated with trying to cultivate the areas of ground to grow certain things. In Palestine, fields consisted of long, thin strips of land which had rights of way to either side. Along the paths, the ground would be very hard due to being compressed through people walking upon them. The rocky ground of Palestine was not so much like our rocky ground with rocks mixed within soil. Much of the land contained only a few inches of soil, below which there was a layer of limestone rock. So the roots of plants could only go down so far before being starved of nutrients. Further, it's useful for us to consider the ways that seeds were sown in the Holy Land when this parable was spoken. The first way would involve a farmer walking up and down the field, casting forth the seed. Some, of course, would be taken away by the birds, and some would be blown by the wind into unsuitable areas. But most seed would be dropped where it was desired. The other more lazy way, which was more common, was to tie a sack of seed upon an ox and cut the corner, allowing the seed to trickle out as the ox walked up and down the fields. This method, of course, was much easier, but would lead naturally to more wastage, as seed would end up on the paths as they were crossed, and seed would be less evenly sown. The parable really works on two levels. Firstly, it comes as a warning, and it challenges us as to where we are at as individuals in terms of hearing God's word and of bearing fruit. Secondly, it comes as a great message of encouragement for those who sow seed.
So let's look firstly at the challenge that this parable gives.
As we read through the parable and explanation, we can quite clearly see its truth. It makes us perhaps feel a little uneasy, because there are no doubt times in each of our lives when we've received the word as described for each of these types of ground. The question to each one of us is, how do we normally receive the word of God? Where the ground is hard, our minds are closed. There are always people who have made their mind up already and will not allow themselves to be challenged by God's word. Even in some churches, people sit in the pews or seats week by week, but are never challenged, never receive the challenge, never open to the challenge to change their lives in response to God's word and to come under its direction. The seed doesn't engage them at all. The message is not really understood or taken in. And so what's sown is snatched away by the evil one. That's what Jesus says in verse 18. Where the ground is stony, minds are shallow. At first, when the seed is sown, it germinates and seems to flourish. But the soil is only a few inches thick before it reaches the shelf of limestone rock. Such soil in Palestine would soon heat up in the sun, and the seed would germinate. But once the plant sent down its roots for moisture, they would soon starve and wither away. There are some people who are in life always beginning new schemes with great enthusiasm, but they have problems finishing them. They get fed up. There are too those who get excited about the gospel, and they seem to flourish for a while as Christians, but soon fall away. Some preachers rely too much, arguably, on emotive preaching and altar calls, and these can sadly lead to this second phenomena. I remember visiting someone in Wales, in the first church I was in, who had left the church a couple of years before I went to it. She'd received the gospel with great joy. She'd been baptised, but she simply said to me that her faith had left with the last minister. Of the person who received the seed that fell on rocky ground, Jesus said, "Since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away." We can very easily or quickly take on board a concept or a spiritual truth, only for the novelty to wear off when the time comes for us to stand up for what we're supposed to believe in. Where the ground is thorny, minds are preoccupied. When thorns, thistles, or bindweed grow among our plants, they can become strangled to death, or at the very best, they're often dwarfed and not develop as well as they could do. Very often when our minds are preoccupied, we find it hard, don't we, to concentrate on what's of ultimately the most importance. The man is described as receiving the seed that fell amongst thorns. At first, he hears the word, but the various demands of life make his priorities divided, and so he fails to bear much fruit. Jesus describes him as being one for whom the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word received, making it unfruitful. Finally, the fourth category of sow which Jesus mentions is the good soil.
where the ground is good, our minds are prepared. When we plant seeds today, we make sure that the ground is made ready beforehand. We dig and rake the ground. We might add nutrients or well-rotted manure in order to make sure that the ground is fertile. Verse 23 says, "The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." You know, this statement would have been almost startling to its original hearers. Jesus is talking about abundant, supernatural growth, about God's power at work in the life of the believer. First century Galilean farmers expected a crop return of 7.5 bushels for every bushel of seed planted, whilst a tenfold return was seen as being very good indeed. Jesus spoke of 100, 60, or 30 times return. The word, when it's understood, and when it's taken to heart, and when it's taken into our minds, has wonderful, wonderful results. So the question comes to each one of us: how well prepared is the soil of our hearts to receive the word of God? Do we read the scriptures and meditate on them? And how far do we take the proclaimed word to heart? We need to regularly consider what things are taking priority in our lives, and consider whether these things are attended to more than the word of God. Before we come to worship, not only on Sundays but during the week too, we need to prepare ourselves for what the Lord wants to say to us. We need to set aside distractions and be open to God challenging us through his written and proclaimed word. If we are attentive, we will receive such blessings as Jesus describes in this passage. We've looked at the warning that comes from this parable. Let's look at the encouragement that it gives to us. Some of Jesus' disciples, at times, I think, must have felt discouraged, even a little depressed. Jesus was a wonderful communicator, and yet it was only really, if we think about it, a minority of people who actually took his teaching to heart. The disciples must have felt daunted at times. Their teacher was so good, yet many rejected his words. Jesus was letting his disciples know that in time there would be a harvest. The fact of that of those who received his word, different levels of fruit would be produced, tells us that the response of others is not in our individual hands. Though the disciples were to evangelize and were not as good at teaching as their master, they could still look forward to a harvest. When farmers sow seeds, they do not expect every seed they sow to germinate. This doesn't depress them or cause them to give up. They sow the seed knowing that in the end, there's going to be a harvest. Baptists emphasize, among other things, that it's the duty of every Christian to take part in the evangelization of the world, to bear witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is our duty to share our faith and to tell other people the good news, to sow seeds in various places and in various ways, trusting in God to give the increase and to work in the hearts of the people. there will be results or a harvest from our efforts, even if we never hear of it. It's wonderful, of course, when we do see results, but even when we don't, we must trust in the Lord of the harvest. When we sow seed in a spiritual sense, we must never lose hope, but it is sure that there is going to be that harvest. We must have patience and even at times leave the harvest to the years. It's often many years later that seeds germinate in the heart and result in saving faith. H.L. Gee, in one of his books, tells a story. In the church where he worshipped, there was a lonely old man, old Thomas. Thomas had outlived all his friends, and hardly anyone knew him. Thomas died. H.L. Gee had the feeling that there would be no one to go to the funeral, so he decided to go so that someone might follow old Thomas to his last resting place. There was no one, and it was a wild, wet day. The funeral reached the cemetery. It was during the war, and at the gate there was a soldier there waiting. He was an officer, but on his raincoat there were no rank badges. The soldier came to the graveside for the ceremony, and when it was over he stepped forward, and standing before the open grave, he swept his hand in a salute that may have been given to a king. H.L. Gee walked away with this soldier, and as they walked, the soldier's raincoat blew open, and now H.L. Gee saw the soldier's badges of rank. The soldier was nothing less than a brigadier. The soldier said to H.L. Gee, "You'll perhaps be wondering what I'm doing here. Years ago, Thomas was my Sunday school teacher. I was a wild lad and a sore trial to him. He never knew what he did for me, but I owe everything I am or will be to old Thomas, and today I had to come to salute him at the end." Thomas did not know what he was doing. No preacher or teacher ever does. It is our task to sow the seed and without discouragement to leave the rest to God. May we seek to make Christ known day by day through our lives and give a word of encouragement to folk that folk might know that Jesus lives and be blessed by knowing the truth of God's word. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have spoken to your people through the years. We thank you that you empower us through your Holy Spirit to give witness to others. We thank you that you've given us, each one of us, individual gifts that we can use for the building up of your kingdom and the building up of your church. Lord God, may we know your presence with us during the week and at all times. Lord God, equip us and help us to know when we can share a word of encouragement, when we can reach out to others. So speak to our hearts and lives. And in all things, may we be the people that you would have us be. For we ask it in his precious name. Amen.